Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
Take this job and shove it.
Get ready to go into business for yourself. The Franchise Academy Radio Show with your host and small business and franchise expert, Tom Skarda.
Hello, this is Tom Skarda, and welcome to the Franchise Radio Show. Excited to have you on board tonight. We have a great show in store, and this is really exciting because I have a really good old friend and someone I consider a mentor to me in the world of business and marketing. David Gusson is with me tonight, and David is the founder and president of 516-631 and now 718ads.com. And David brings a whole world of education to us tonight, and I'm so excited. So the Franchise Radio Show is all about franchising, duh. So it's really all about best practices and how we can help franchise owners grow their business, get educated about what's going on, everything from rules and laws and regulations in small business. How to buy a franchise is something we talk about a lot. How to turn your business into a franchise. Tonight we're going to be talking a lot about networking and marketing in your franchise, in your business. And it doesn't have to be a franchise. If you're a small business owner, you tuned into the right show because we have a lot of good information for any kind of business that you're running. So I want to welcome my friend David Gusson. David, how are you?
I'm doing great, Tom. Thanks for having me, buddy. Honor to be with you. You know, for those who listen to Tom on the air, you hear him. He's the franchise guy. Him and his wife, Gina, two of the nicest people you'll ever want to meet. And like I said, a total honor just to be with you here today, buddy. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you. And here's your $20.
I'm out of here.
And thank you so much. And Gina's with me as usual and running everything behind the scenes and Facebook Live for us tonight. Hello, Gina.
Hello. How are you?
All right. And for those of you listening outside of New York later on, this is Gina, G-I-N-A, is G-I-N-E-R in Brooklyn.
So Gina. That's Gina. How we say it here, Gina.
Gina. So David, 516 Ads, you just had your 10th anniversary.
Yes, our 10th anniversary.
That's amazing to me. And so did we meet like 10 years ago?
We did, buddy. We met like 10 years ago, and you've been a supporter of what we've been doing on Long Island for the last 10 years. Nice mixture of business and community. Yeah. And I think you've always liked the community stuff, actually.
Yeah. Yep. I'm all about the community stuff. And that's one of my favorite things. We're going to talk about the projects that you have, the side pet projects, and everything that you've done to the community, done with the community, done for the community has been absolutely amazing. And, you know, starting from just a marketing guy, I mean, like your background is just marketing, right?
Yeah, my background is survival. just working hard, trying to survive in this world, as we all have to, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But then, you know, it's funny because this does go along with franchising. Not everyone gets the chance, but they're very fortunate if they get to do what they're meant to do, mm-hmm. as opposed to what they're supposed to do.
Right.
Because so many of us have to do what we're supposed to do, and that's make a living, raise our family, just survive. Whether you're a kid growing up, you were probably a paper boy too, buddy. I was a paper boy when I'm 12 years old. It doesn't even exist anymore. But
it's crazy.
Many of us were, and what a great job it was.
Right.
You learned to set up the logistics of a route. You learned to collect money from people, do a good job. There were times where I made more money on my paper route from when I was 12 to 15 than I was working when I was in my young 20s and stuff. I was like, I want to go back to that paper route. But we often do what we have to do, what we're supposed to do. I'm very obedient. Many people are. You know, the troublemaker in the back of the class, not obedient, but most kids are obedient. You probably weren't, Skarda. But, you know, but when you do what you're meant to do, which goes along with franchising, which goes along with following your passion.
Yeah.
You know, in this world, who's the guy who has the great line, control your destiny or someone else will?
Right.
I forget the gentleman, but a big time CEO. In this world, if you could follow your passion, you're very lucky. Follow your passion and make a living from it.
Then you're on top.
Pick your franchise.
That's right. Right. And what's really cool is the franchise, it's not all about picking the business that is your passion. Like, if you love baseball, it doesn't mean that you should open up batting cages. What I try to explain to people is that when you're looking for a great franchise, it has to be a great business model that's going to allow you to see your family and give you the time and the money so you can coach kids. Because obviously, when you boil it down, that's what you were talking about when you talked about opening up a batting cage. You know, I'm just using a general statement. But if you love sports and you want to teach it to kids, you want to have a business that's going to give you enough time and the money so you could be out there coaching all the different sports that you want to coach. So that's how you really draw on your passions and follow your soul's purpose, which is, you know, like you said, when you align your business, your work, and your soul's purpose, that's when the magic happens. That's you know.
Makes it seem less like work and a bit more enjoyable than a day at work.
Right, and no question. Like, as you know, I used to work for the Long Island Railroad, and I was a subway conductor. And I quit to buy a smoothie franchise. Was a smoothie franchise, you know, my calling from God? Not necessarily, but it was a step in order to get me to understand what it takes to be a successful person and to make your own bones and make your own paycheck. And so the smoothie franchise allowed me to meet a lot of different people and really grow a business where I can actually help people through charities, because now I was making money where I could give some away, not living paycheck to paycheck. And it was a phenomenal thing, but it wasn't, you know, smoothies was not my calling. That's not my God-given gift to use a blender. That, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, I was good at it. I was really good at making drinks, but it was really about being able to inspire people to go to the next level in their life.
But even on a simple end, smoothie puts smiles on people's faces.
Yeah.
So when people come into the store and they're coming in for a smoothie, you're probably little kids are more involved there than adults. And, you know, morning, you know, you got 100 or 500 people coming in a day. You're greeting them, putting a smile on their face. It might be the only smile that they get.
That's right.
You know?
Right. And that's why we always put an umbrella in every drink. And
is that why?
And the kids used to love it, you know, and I missed the business. But you know, my point being is that taking a chance on business allowed me to do other things, have this radio show. I mean, you know, if being a subway conductor, I loved, because I was moving being a cog and moving 5 million people a day. And it was a phenomenal thing. And I was really passionate about it. I really love it. To this day, I'm like a train buff. I love trains, you know.
There's a story. It's a book. I think the book is called The Blue Ocean. It goes along with what you're saying. So Blue Ocean.
Yeah.
And what a person was telling me the story, and we'll make it quick. There's an old woman walking down a city block. They're doing construction on the block. It was like a 2 or 3 block thing. There's tops all over because it's all fenced in. They're doing construction. And she opens up the thing and she goes, you know, excuse me, sir. What are you doing? He's like, I'm chiseling stone. She's like, you know, she's a happy old lady. She goes, okay, you know, sorry to bother you. She goes to the end of the block, opens up the top on the other side. She goes, excuse me, sir, what are you doing? I'm building a cathedral.
Yeah.
They were both working on the same thing.
Right.
One guy's chiseling stone, all pissed off, hating what he does.
Yep.
And one guy's building a work of art.
Yeah.
So, you know, to all of us, well, what are you doing? Are you mad and angry at what you're doing? Or are you working on, you know, your purpose, your work of art,
right,
and enjoying it so.
Yeah.
That story sounds familiar, Tom. It sounds like our first class experience.
Yeah, that's right.
David, that story.
Yeah. Funny story. We were blessed enough to be going to Alaska a few months ago and flying in first class. So we're sitting there. There's only, I think, 4 rows in first class, and we're in the 3rd row. And we are, like, looking at each other, like, high-fiving, like, oh, my God, this is, like, the best thing ever, first class. I can't believe we're blessed to be able to do this. This is unreal. They served lunch. And the lunch, for some reason, was, like, one of the best sandwiches I ever had in my life. And it was a simple sandwich. It was a turkey with, like, some kind of sauce on it. It was so good. I was, like, freaking out.
It was turkey with melted brie and a fig jam.
There you go.
Grilled. Amazing.
It was amazing. On a plane. And then there's a couple in front of us. And the lady, she was sitting in front of me, proceeded to complain about how bad first class is.
Everything.
And how bad the sandwich is. a sandwich in first class? Are you kidding me? And then she became the bathroom Gestapo.
Oh,
and when somebody came down the aisle from not first class, from coach, to use the bathroom up front, she would stop them and say, oh, you can't go to the bathroom here. You're not in first class. I'm like, whoa. Just, you know, and I said to Gina, just take a second here. This is what's going on here. This is all about your perception, what you bring to the rodeo, you know, and this lady is pissed off. And here we are. It's like the best experience of our life. So it's all about appreciation and gratitude.
It's just how you can, two people can look at the same thing and see two different things. It's kind of the same story. One sees a cathedral and one sees a rock.
Gina, did you ask her for her sandwich?
I was like, hey, if you're not eating it.
Yeah, you didn't like it. Right?
Yeah, pass it back.
Ma'am, I'll take your sandwich. Thank you very much.
It's just an amazing thing. There's all sorts of like little stories like that. But it's all about attitude in business. And
yeah, attitude, and a word I've been talking more when I've been speaking to groups of people is spirit. Mm-hmm. And that's because attitude and spirit, in some ways, of course, someone could say they're the same thing.
Right.
And they seem like the same thing. And I actually, many people disagreed with my thought. I envisioned spirit as a pop. You know, because we always talk about an attitude. You know, someone has a good attitude, they have a bad attitude. But we don't say, you know, they have a good spirit or a bad spirit. Or even if we're self-judging ourselves, all of us, you know, I had a bad day today at the office. I had a bad attitude. But we never say we had a good or bad spirit.
Huh.
But there's something I like about the word spirit, because I think successful business people need a little bit of spirit.
Yeah.
Whether it's a spirit that they're putting into others, or whether it's a spirit of how they feel within themselves. So one person described it in a way that I like. A spirit is like what you are. It's like your core of who you are, and your attitude is how you show it to the world.
Ah.
You know, that's how they said it. To me, I like to watch my spirit. So you're in business. You have customers at the counter. What kind of spirit you bringing them? Are you saying, good morning, Mrs. Smith, how are you today? Or are you saying, you know, give me a ticket, please?
Yeah,
it makes a difference.
It really
does. Franchise owners, small business owners, everywhere.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And not to break our spirit, I just wanted to say that if you want to call in, we're taking calls. And the number here, if you are live, is 631-451-1039. Again, 631-451-1039, and we're live with David Gusson from 516ads631ads.com. So the spirit is really, really the most important thing, I think, and because people ask me about, you know, how did you have the success you had with your smoothie thing? It's just I brought a great spirit to it. Now that you brought that up, I never thought about it before. I woke up in the morning excited about what I was doing. And it was other franchise owners in that franchise that woke up and hated what they were doing for some reason. They bought this franchise and they didn't like it. And so they ended up failing in the long run. And it's really, you know, it's so clear to me now as I look back, and you could see people that have a great spirit end up successful and no matter what they do. If you think about it, say you're the boss, you got two people working for you. One is grumpy, one is high-spirited. Who are you going to give the raise to? Who are you going to give the promotion to? The person that's spirited. Right.
Yeah, good spirit, welcoming people at the counter, nice attitude, all that stuff. I'm pretty sure you never opened your doors late either and never closed early either.
Right.
You know, in business. Imagine you go to a store. We were in the dry cleaning business. Everyone's running to work. Your store's supposed to open at 7. If you get there at 7:15 and it's not open, you're not going there again.
That's it.
You never go to the store again. You went there, they were closed, they didn't come through for you.
Right.
That's
you
right.
Know, it's the little things that matter, and it's not brain surgery, it's simple things. But
totally
don't
simple.
Open up your store at 8:01 if it opens up at 8. Actually, be there 7:30, maybe even open your doors, and don't close early.
Yeah.
You know, it's the little things, and consistency. When I judge myself, I don't do, in business, if I had a good day or not, I don't judge by if I made a lot of money that day. I judge by if I did a good job.
Yeah.
And that's what we as business owners, if you own a franchise, you're busting your butt. You own any business, you're busting your butt.
Right.
Separate from your family, it's probably the second most important thing in your life. Mm-hmm. Man, you better, how much energy you bring into the game, you
that's
better
right.
bring a lot.
No question about it. So cool. And it's great. I wanted to, you know, something just popped into my mind as you were talking, and it was, I don't know if anybody listening, if you know David Gusson personally, but if you do, you probably know the fact that David actually invented the everything bagel.
Yeah, I see some people disputing that these days.
It makes
Interestingly, it's funny. Only big name a guy named Seth Godin disputed it when the story came out many years ago when I was in the New Yorker. The Seth Godin disputed it. But even he backed down on NPR radio and he said, I didn't name it. I give credit to Gussin for it. That's what he called me. Then some guy who owns Eataly, and Eataly is some big-time restaurant in the city. He claims he owns it. And now I see the head of Steiner Sports says that he created the Everything Bagel. I think like this. First thing I think with that is what's in a name?
Yeah.
When it comes to the Everything Bagel, actually everything.
That's right.
But because the Everything Bagel is also known as the Mishmash Bagel and the All on Top Bagel. I didn't create those two bagels, never did, never heard of them. But according to Wikipedia, it's also known as that. But I did create the Everything Bagel. And like I said, the name matters. It's sort of like if someone put ketchup and mayonnaise together, they think they created French dressing.
That's right.
Or if they put some fruit in one of those plastic things that our mom used to give us and put a stick in, they created froze fruit.
Right.
So to these gentlemen, especially like a Steiner type, who's very successful, multi-million-dollar company, I want to ask him first, did you name it? Because if you put all the seeds on the bagel and didn't name it the Everything Bagel, you didn't create the Everything Bagel. You put all the seeds on the bagel. The cute story, though, what it was I did work at a bagel store for years. One of my jobs was sweeping out the oven. Those were the well-done seeds that fell off the bagels during the course of the day. Right. If you're from Long Island, when I was done hanging out at Speaks in Malibu, I would go to work. When I swept out the seeds, those were the burnt ones, my favorite. One day I said, Charlie, make some bagels with these. We'll call it the Everything Bagel. And before you knew it, the Everything Bagel spread. I did not go home and tell my mom and dad I created the Everything Bagel. I wasn't trying to create the next big bagel. But before you know it, we created it in Cross Bay Boulevard, Howard Beach, Queens. Before you knew it, it was in Lindenwood. And there are food historians who do care about this.
Yeah.
The first time the Everything Bagel was ever written in print is 8 years later in Queens, New York, after I said I created it. Because there's some people who said they created it in the 60s, the 70s. The first time it was written in Queens in around 1986, 87, I had said I created it in 1979, 80. that's my little story of the Everything Bagel. What does happen with that, though, is after you create something popular, you do want to do it again.
Yeah, right.
You want to sort of like want to repeat creating something popular. Creative people, no matter what they say, they do like something to be popular for no other reason. It's sort of like a validation of, hey, people like it.
That's right.
And I don't care what you're creating. Create a beautiful picture, a movie, a song. People liking it is the ultimate validation.
Right, it is. And it's the ultimate vibration. If people like it widespread, that's what makes a great song. It's a great vibration. Or a great movie vibrates in your soul.
And so many things now are the Everything Bagel. You see Everything Bagel pretzels. You see Everything Bagel bread. If you look around, Everything Bagel seasoning at Trader Joe's and
stuff. But are you getting residuals?
None at all.
Says the actress.
My daughters are upset about that. No, as I said, I didn't go home and tell my mom and dad I created it. But
no royalties.
Certainly get a kick out of it and certainly enjoy the whole story that goes around it.
Yeah, it's fun.
That's a great story.
It's fun, man. I got the creator of the Everything Bagel. My father would be so proud.
I want to know, where's the bagels?
I got to tell you, if I brought you bagels now, you'd be mad at me because they'd be hot as a rock. Here's a little bagel tip. You want bagels to be good after you're done? Because if you leave them overnight, you can't eat them the next day.
Right.
You could hardly cut them. But if you cut them in half before and put them in plastic, the bagels will be and freeze them. You can freeze them as long as you want. When you take them out and toast them, they'll be fresh, like if you bought them that very day.
Yeah.
So
we do that all the time. We love that.
You got to cut them in half, though. Otherwise, it's very...
Cutting them in half is a secret. That's my father did that. So he would be happy to know that I have David, the creator of the Everything Bagel, such a mensch.
Now, I did buy the name ToastedDonuts.com because I had a bad donut. So I had a bad donut. It was 3 days old. I was getting ready to throw it out. I had nothing else to eat. I was hungry. I said, let me heat it up. I heated it up for 15 seconds. Most delicious freaking thing in the world.
Really? Toasted donuts.
So if you go to ToastedDonuts.com, you'll see it. It's not available because I own it. Because one day, Toasted Donuts is meant to be popular. Tommy, I got some good business ideas to discuss with you and your thing. I bought the name Frelsa.com, fruit and salsa mixed together. Frelsa.
Yeah,
Frelsa. Right?
Hey, part of everything is branding and marketing.
That's right.
You know what? My dad's old. He could hardly eat. He's old. And I was getting the applesauce out for him, and my hand was getting all dirty. He likes seltzer. I put some seltzer in it. I shook it up. I said, here, Pop, drink this. So I mixed fruit with salsa, since Frelsa.
Wow.
Let's start genius. A franchise.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. That's really good stuff. I mean, and it's so easy. You got to get the domain. That's the first thing you got to do, right?
I actually like that. That does matter. Some people buy so many, they think they're good. They're not. But sort of like owning the domain is owning the current real estate these days.
It is.
Even you asked me about my show. I have a show, Happy Sunday Morning.
Yep.
Besides that, I like it. It's a value-added thing to what we do. I love the name, mm-hmm. HappySundayMorning.com. That's supposed to be in the American awesome. Thought process.
We're going
to
come back and talk
about
that.
Kicking off the week and all that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. We're coming back to that. And we're listening right now to the Franchise Radio Show. I have David Gustin on. This is Tom Scarter. We're talking everything networking. We're talking everything bagels. And we're going to be back. We're going to be talking about David's new show, Happy Sunday Morning. And stay tuned. We'll be right back. If you want to call in, 631-451-1039. We'll be right back. Thanks.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
Take this job and shove it.
And now back to the Franchise Academy Radio Show with your host and small business and franchise expert, Tom Scarta.
And welcome back to the Franchise Radio Show. This is Tom Scarta, and we have my friend and mentor on, David Gustin from 516 Ads, 631 Ads, and now 718 Ads, talking about everything networking. If you own a small business, if you own a franchise, you need to be out there networking and meeting other people, building strategic alliances, and igniting business. And that's what 516 Ads does. So, David, igniting business, man, what does that mean to you?
Igniting business has to start with the understanding, for lack of a better, you know, the idea of advertising sucks.
Yeah.
The idea of placing an ad and waiting for people to something to happen has always been a gamble at best, and usually you're losing one.
Yeah.
And this was even before, but igniting business, that's more like a system. It's about using multiple. First of all, the spirit, igniting business, sort of like spirit.
Yeah.
Man, what are you going to do? I'm going to work. Man, I got to ignite some business. So it even sounds good. You know, light a little fire under your butt. Ignite some business. But after that, it's about using multiple tools. There's so many tools out there, people can't even use them all, certainly not at the same time. But it's not about doing it. It's about using multiple tools. Should you use an email blast? Should you use social media? Should you make your website perfect? Should you send out mailers? There's no right or wrong. Every business is different. But use multiple tools.
Right.
This part matters. Mix web with warmth.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone wanted the web to be the magical salesperson for them. There's always exceptions to the rule, Victoria's Secret, sell online, blah, blah, blah. But 99.99999% of businesses are not Victoria's Secret.
Right.
Mix web with warmth. If you even have a one-page web presence, make it pristine. Yeah. Don't have a comma off. Don't have a period off. We need 1,000 things to go right at business owners to make a deal. We need one thing to go wrong not to make a deal.
Right.
You have a spelling error on your page. You have a comma off. You have something odd. People are like, well, look at that. If they mess that up, you know, what are they going to do with me?
Right.
So it seems like, but so mix web with warmth. What's that? Well, use social media once again. Use email blast. You use your website. All the different things on the web that you could do. So many different things. But the warmth.
Mm-hmm.
The warmth comes from bringing people together.
Yeah.
Now, if it's a franchise, or whether it's a smoothie place, or maybe you have an opening, a Little League day, Little League starting, you know, whatever day, you have different days to bring people into your establishment. Maybe you go out and participate in the, you know, the neighborhood fair for the week. You're participating. Maybe you join a networking group and go to different events and start meeting people and building relationships. So the warmth comes from bringing, maybe you run a webinar, maybe you run a seminar, mm-hmm. but whatever it is, instead of just web, Everyone wants the web to be their magical salesperson for them, but we've already seen that's not the way it works.
That's right.
So mix the warmth in. And the warmth is creating activity, dealing with people. On the next part is make yourself easy to remember.
Yeah.
Now, when you tell people it makes yourself easy to remember, sometimes it scares them because what it is you think they're trying to change their identity, but you're not. You're just putting a tool in their pocket. Mm-hmm. Everything is just a tool, and branding does matter, and making yourself easy to remember does matter. A good example that people could understand is American Express is American Express, but they also own thecar.com. They own booming.com. Mm-hmm. So underneath the behemoth of American Express, they use these little tools.
Right.
Let's say there's a lawyer in New York City. Just an example. Is it David Gusson Law Esquire? No one's remembering that. Or is it 212law.com?
Right.
Because you're in the city and you do law.
Right.
Or we're in Nassau County. You own 516tax.com. You know, my uncle, he's a CPA. Great. No one's remembering his name, but 516tax.com. Easy to remember. I'd worked in the employment industry when I was a young kid. And back in those days, people could pay $10,000 to be on the front page of the New York Times. You remember those days?
Yeah.
Mahoney and all those agencies. I didn't have that kind of money. I didn't want to spend that kind of money. It was $80 a line back in the 80s.
Right.
So already a 20-line ad's costing you $1,600. You'd have secretary, Wang word processing, filing, this and that. It adds up quickly.
Yeah.
The smallest ad you could take is 4 lines. That's what I took. On Monday morning, the people who took out big ads and explained all this stuff, they got like no calls. You know what my Sunday ad said? Secchi, dial a job, 972-9300. On Monday mornings, I'd get like 20 or 30 calls with my $120 ad or whatever it was, very inexpensive, compared to the people who pays the full thing. But dial a job, that was the branding thing, as an example.
Right.
So the last, so make yourself easier to remember. And lastly, get out there and make things happen, man. You got to bust your butt in this world.
That's right.
Very few people get things handed to them. There's a tough business world out there. Man, you better give it your all.
Yeah, that's right. And so you bring people together with your 516 ads, 631 ads. So what is the essence of 516 ads, you know, in general? I mean, is it a networking group, or do you bring networkings together? Explain that.
I didn't even know the word networking when we started. To me, networking was the wires that come out of a computer.
Right.
What I was thinking is, well, actually, it started from I created a message and the media ignored me and they pissed me off. So I said, we're going to show them how it's done, is what I thought. So really, 516 ads and 631 ads, if you don't live in Long Island and if you're listening around the country, it might not mean that much to you. But right here in Long Island, there's only two area codes, 516 and 631. Right. And over here, people are very comfortable with it. But if you're in LA, man, 213 ads would work the same. If you were in Washington, D.C., 202 ads would work the same. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of like the region coming together and telling all the powers that used to be, all the papers that would charge $10,000 for a full-page ad, radio stations, not like this one, which for the community, you pay $800, you don't get a call. Sort of like telling the powers that be, screw you, we could do it ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And if we did it ourselves, the first thing we'd have to do is come up with a great name. Well, in the region of Long Island, 516 ads, 631 ads, memorable enough that it can't be forgotten, quirky enough that it sounds like a resource.
That's right.
Then it comes together, you tell the people in the region, hey guys, sort of like working for the greater good. We don't need them. We could build our own resource.
Yeah.
Online, everyone has their own tools to do. Offline, we're going to create all different events, create activity, sort of like build our own resource. But Tommy, what makes us different is not the marketing and not the ideas. What makes us different is that we use our platforms to spread positive instead of negative.
That's right.
You see, because previous to this, the newspapers and stuff, it's sort of like a bad habit on society. If it bleeds, it leads. Hate makes headlines. That's how they're ad takers, and they use negativity to sell.
Right.
Well, you can't make a good newspaper, but if you could ignite business, help everyone with their business, help build their resource, everyone pays their fair share, then you can use those many platforms to spread good in the community instead of bad. And I want to be clear. I don't think we have to make people good. Most people are good already. We just like to put them in the headlines. So we don't need to make people good, but we like to feature them as opposed to featuring negativity, which is what the media is done and does to this very day. To this very day.
To this very minute.
It gets worse and worse. It's an irresponsible thing on society.
It is.
One of the beauties about one of the only shining spots about the horrible thing with Hurricane Harvey is if you listen to media, we all don't get along. One of the beautiful things was people helping people.
Yeah.
And every time there's a tragedy.
And they weren't helping him with, who did you vote for? They weren't, oh, let me check your skin color, because that's what they're telling us we're fighting about all the time. They were just picking up. They were just helping. That's what real life is all about.
That's real life.
That's who I want to give a platform to, the invisible people, because the media, they bombard us with negativity. I'm really sick of it.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
It's a platform for the invisible people. I like that. That's really cool.
Loving, caring people to be heard.
That's it. So one of the things that always impressed me about, you know, your organization and in your meetings, which I used to attend on a regular basis, and I got to get back out there. I've been guilty of that. But is your whole platform of LEARN, L-E-A-R-N.
Yeah. That's what got me into what we do here today. I always wanted to do something about racism. I don't know why. I just didn't like it. When I was a little boy, I was just taught to, you know, you love people. You don't know anything. But what's a person going to do about racism? I'm a white guy. Should I invite a black family over to show that I'm not racist? I'm not into fluffy stuff. That's fake stuff that they like to make stories about. But I was watching the Sally Jesse Raphael show one day. They had skinheads on. Mm-hmm. The skinheads were making audience members cry. I was like, these people are idiots. LEARN. And I imagine millions of good people standing beside me, not behind me. I'm not here to be a leader, but I am here to stand beside people and be a great teammate if I can. Screaming LEARN at these guys. Like, LEARN, guys, what the freak's the matter with you? LEARN, what are you, idiots? And then I was like, LEARN, there has to be something anyone could say that if you're really against racism, you'd have no problem saying it.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought for a while and it hit me, LEARN, let's end all racism now.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow, that's a powerful message. And I called my cousin Joni, she's an artist, and we made a red, white, and blue logo. And we made the word racism go into a broken heart. Because you ask a million people what racism is, you get a million different opinions. But to me, it caused the feeling of a broken heart hovering over society.
Yeah.
I would never waste my time trying to change an adult's mind. And I have no right to try to change anybody's mind. But I knew that is a beautiful idea to introduce to children.
Right.
You know, LEARN, to introduce an opposite to racism.
Yeah.
LEARN, acquire knowledge. LEARN is possibly the most powerful word in the English language. They acquire knowledge. So in this case, acquire knowledge of ending racism.
Yeah.
I tweaked it over the years. I don't like controversy. And even with a loving heart, ending racism could become controversial. So we also made it LEARN, love, excellence, and respect now.
Okay.
Because while ending racism could be controversial to those who choose it, though it shouldn't be, love, excellence, and respect is indisputable.
Mm-hmm.
And over the years, LEARN also, just the final LEARN, LEARN with a heart.
Yeah.
To me, that's goodness speaking up, acquire knowledge with love. You have me on your show. I appreciate this honor so much. I have a 5-line poem. Goodness, the problem with goodness is this. Goodness is quiet. Mm. Goodness doesn't like to make a fuss. Goodness just wants everything to be okay. In comparison to a $1 billion a day negativity machine, goodness is fragmented. And in a world where hate makes headlines, goodness needs to speak up. So here's the deal. Goodness needs to speak up in a unified voice. Right. And as long as it's going to, it might as well say something smart.
Mm-hmm.
LEARN. Spread the word. That is the ultimate marketing campaign.
Yeah, very nice.
That's bigger than 516 ads.
And that's why I pay my invoice every year for 516ads.com for that alone.
That's awesome.
That's my favorite.
I want to talk about the show though. Your Sunday morning show.
Okay.
Yeah. What do you do on it? What's the premise of the show?
Happy Sunday morning.
The premise of the show is to use the media in a platform to spread positive instead of negative. Sunday synonymous with Sunday morning shows, whether it be preachers and stuff, whether it be Meet the Press or anything like that. So we like to take on any current issues that are going on. But we also, we're not here to fight. We're not here to make a scene. We're not here to be Jerry Springer. We're here to get the week off to a good vibe. And imagine, hey, listen, we're bombarded by negativity. One thing I know in this world, people want positive. They might not say it, but they want positive. If I want to be in the business of anything, I want to be in the business of making the world a better place.
Yeah.
So if I'm that, I want to use Happy Sunday Morning as a platform.
It's great.
To get that started.
Positively Ernie was a segment on the news for a little while.
didn't do too well because it was a positive segment with Ernie Anastas. It was called Positively Ernie. I remember this because it was my favorite thing and it was the only time I would watch the news.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't watch the news anymore at all. So where do we find your show?
Actually, you go to happysundaymorning.com.
Mm-hmm.
And we work on a local place here, WLINY.com.
Mm-hmm.
And they do a great job. And I must say, marketing people, future franchise owners, the same way Tom does, I do learn more about podcasting. It's one of the most efficient ways that you get your place's name out there.
Yeah.
Put you in a leadership role as well. And a nice way to create content. It's not even about the show. It's about creating quality content. Mm-hmm. And a podcast allows you to do that in multiple ways.
I'm addicted to podcasts.
Yeah.
You really can learn anything you want to learn. Right there online. It's amazing.
You can even learn how to buy a franchise. You don't need me. You just listen to the Franchise Radio Show podcast on iTunes.
Although, who wouldn't want to call you, Tom? Because, I mean, you offer such value for nothing, for free, for someone who's looking for a business. It's amazing.
They do need you, by the way. The computers and stuff, they just read it. It's not the same. When you talk to a real knowledgeable person in your case, you can't read that online. You can't watch that on a tape.
Yeah.
He gives the warmth, right? The warmth.
It matters too.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
true.
Well, I appreciate that. And you know, what I want to do is, if somebody's buying a franchise, I just want to make sure that they buy the right one. So many people buy the wrong franchise for the wrong reasons. You know, they wake up in the morning like, oh, I love donuts. I'm going to open up a donut shop. And that's a mistake. It's, you know, you got to get something that is going to be here for the long run. Low investment, high margin business that's going to give you the time and the money so you could spread positivity, whether it's through coaching a team or whether it's through playing music or, you know, being a preacher and, you know, whatever it is that you do, your business or your job is just a vehicle to help you do what you want to do, your soul's purpose. It doesn't matter what it is. It's just a vehicle to get you what you want in your life. So a great franchise, you know, to find a franchise is not difficult. You know, it takes a couple of weeks and we could line people up with some great franchises. The real thing, though, at the end is the choice is not between franchise A or franchise B. But where I come in is I help people choose the real choice between uncertainty and unhappiness. Most people choose unhappiness, unfortunately, and it breaks my heart. But unhappiness being, you know, a bad commute every single day, taking years off your life and not seeing your family, or working with a boss who is a racist, or working with someone who is a misogynist, you know, whatever. But, you know, there's safety in that because you're getting a paycheck every month, every week. I help people choose uncertainty because uncertainty is where the magic happens. When you choose uncertainty, that means you chose faith. Faith in God, faith in your universe, whatever you believe in, and magical things happen. The universe comes to your back. You know, you're believing in yourself is right.
Mm-hmm.
And when you believe in yourself, people come in your path to help you get to the next level, right? So if I didn't open up my business, I would have not met you, as an example, 10 years ago. So when you take chances, great things happen. And that's my message. That's all I want to do. So, you know, helping people find a franchise, that's easy. You know, I do that with my eyes closed. But helping people really realize who they are and how much power they have to create their own reality, I mean, that's the fun part for me.
And I run into so many people these days for a variety of reasons. They, you know, they're reinventing themselves is the term that they use. But they also gave 20 or 30 years to something that they thought they were going to give their life to, and no decision of their own, all of a sudden they're out of a job.
Yeah.
In my mind, it's sort of like the younger you control your own destiny, the better for you.
Yes.
Because to be in your 40s or 50s, and then all of a sudden you gave your life to the job, and all of a sudden, you know, we're changing, or we don't need you anymore, and all of a sudden you're out.
Right.
That got to be rough to take.
That's my client. That's what I'm talking to on a daily basis. People who are in between jobs, laid off. I work with a great firm out here, an outplacement firm called Lehigh Harrison. And every, you know, every day, every week, I'm getting calls from people that are, you know, they're 50 years old and they can't get a job. You know, what's funny is the average age of somebody buying a franchise went from 42 years old to 56 years old.
Quickly.
Because you're getting laid off at 50. You can't get a job at 50 years old. They want to give it to the kid for half the price who's, you know, 30 years old. So you have to reinvent yourself at that point. But it's sad. It's tough.
And try to reinvent yourself. Some people take a whole year or 2 years to figure out that they're not going to get that job again for $120,000 or $150,000. You know, they search. They think they deserve it. I can't take this. You know, they don't move quick enough. They sort of like get paralyzed in the situation they're in before they're like forced to make a move, but also forced to run out of money and everything that goes with it.
Yeah.
Guys, when you do need to reinvent yourself, yes, think things through, but move quickly.
Yeah, that's right.
Move forward. Don't be waiting. I'm looking for a job for under $20. All of a sudden, you're out of job. 6 or 8 months, you're never going to get the job, that job, and you're back to where you started.
Yeah.
Get into it quicker. And I must say, sometimes if you're working and if you have the money to do it, be planning ahead to look at this stuff ahead of time while you're working.
Right. Mm-hmm.
While you're bringing in your income, figure out how to start what's going to be the next phase of your thing. Don't wait till you don't have a job and feel desperate to do it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Do it beforehand.
Of course, you could read my new upcoming book called Rock Your Second Act, which should be out in 2018. Right. I'm actually writing a book on the whole subject. Rock Your Second Act, David.
Mm-hmm. Because Gina did.
Because I did. Mm-hmm. I went from being a New York City police sergeant 20 years of my life, decided that wasn't what I wanted to do, got my pension, and reinvented myself several times, actually, as you know, several times over.
Well, to me, you reinvented yourself in a beautiful way, and actually, you are a great example. Tom might be the expert, but listeners, if you don't know, like Gina said, former police officer, stayed long enough 20 years to collect her pension, did what she was supposed to do, but man, after that, man, living her life,
passion,
doing what she loves, making people laugh on the stage, probably going to areas where you weren't comfortable at first, and I don't mean towns, I mean putting yourself in situations where going out of your comfort zone.
Stand-up comedy is stand-up comedy is literally harder than anything I've ever done on the police department. Truth.
No question about it.
Really was.
And the beautiful energy that you spread, and you really do, you light up the room.
Oh,
Tommy, you're a nice guy. Me, you're okay. Yeah. We're going to a room. Yeah. For some reason, people seem to walk the other way. But Gina comes in. Gina! Big hugs and kiss. Light up the room.
Hey,
guys, you start a franchise, you start a business, light up the room. Any room that you're in.
That's it.
You could do it.
That's cool, man. Hey, and thank you, guys. This is, David, you've been fantastic. This went so fast. But to get in touch with David, it's just go to 516ads.com. You can contact David Gusson there. And have him speak on your show or TV show. And this is Tom Scarter. This is the Franchise Radio Show every Tuesday night live and on iTunes. Reach out to me if you have any questions about franchising anywhere in the country or in even Canada. And we'll be back next week. And thank you so much for listening. This is the Franchise Radio Show. Good night and God bless you.